voices. Unedited, uncut, unfiltered, unflappable. Bringing you glory to the green. Representing one nation. Mean Green Nation. It's time for the Mean Green Nation podcast.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation podcast. Once again, coming to you live on digital delay, I guess. Because most of you are listening to this, what, at home, probably? In your cubicle, maybe? On the drive to work? Where do you listen to podcasts, Greg?
I listen to them at work.
I do the same, yeah.
Because it helps you get through the day.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's where, you know, I think I've told this story previously. I do a number of podcasts now. I used to do more back when I had time. But that was basically it. Like, I had exhausted, like, my music library, and then I was trying out, like, Pandora, but I didn't like the commercials, or I didn't like it choosing things and me having to stop down and change. Like, I hate this song, you know, like, it was interrupting me. So I wanted something a little longer that I could listen to, you know, without the interruption. So I was like, let me check out what podcasting has. This is about, like, 2011, I guess. And after listening to a few, I was like, man, I could do this. I listened to enough sports radio, talk radio in my lifetime to kind of get an idea. And some people say I'm not short on opinions, you know. So anyway, that's what we're doing. Everybody podcasts now, you know. Everybody. If you don't have a podcast, it's kind of unusual. You know, like, you don't have a podcast. What are you doing? So this is ours, and its name is Mean Green Nation Podcast. Just like the site. You can get to it at meangreennation.com.
Very nicely done.
Yeah. I see you're wearing your Mean Green shirt on. Is that what you're wearing today? I was going to grab one of mine, but I didn't want to ruin it.
I had to channel my good greenness today, so I wore. Yeah. I'm actually wearing some Mean Green shorts too. Dang. So, man, I know I was going to throw on a hat. I was just, I mean, we're getting closer to the season, so you got to start breaking out the gear.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so last we left you on episode 41. Please go back and listen to that. That was a pretty decent episode. We got some nice feedback. UNT Campbell and GoMeanGreen.com said that we were good. Nice mix of cynicism, positivity, reality, you know, some good analysis thrown in. And I really appreciate that. We'd like to hear your feedback. Any and all feedback is good. Let us know what you like, what you don't like.
I think the biggest thing we try and give fans is realism. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not always going to be sunshine and rainbows on here because that's what North Texas wants to hear. But we're going to try and give it to fans real and straight.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, like, you know, I welcome, because we'll criticize some of the players, some of the teams, some of the coaches and things. And we've gotten some criticism for being critical. But I at least try to ground our our criticism is like some facts. And I think I said this like to close out last episode, is that I don't see anything wrong with that, as long as, like, we're doing them a disservice if we don't know enough about the game. If I don't, like, look it up and read about it and try to figure out exactly why you know, you were thrown to the right side or made that pass or called this play, then, you know, I don't really have grounds to criticize you. I'm like, you know, I just sound stupid and goofy. Like, well, what are they doing? Why don't they just score a touchdown? Well, I mean, you know, because, like, you know, you appreciate the difficulty of the game. But that said, you know, I don't, you know, once we do that, I think we can, you know, fairly criticize the team, sport, the program, whatever. And, you know, you can criticize us, too. If you're like, you know what, you guys suck. You guys suck. But at least just kind of ground in some facts. Like, Adam, well, you kind of have, like, a nasally voice. Maybe. Maybe you drone on and on a little bit. Let us know. Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Greg puts me to sleep when he starts talking. Absolutely. I want to hear it.
I mean, Greg puts me to sleep. You know, I'm here talking to him. What? No, I'm kidding. So there you go. That's it. That's the Mean Green Nation podcast. Mission, I guess, in a nutshell. And there are some dangers, I think, out there. It's really easy to put anything on the internet. And I think one of the things that we just saw right now is, like, Underdog Dynasty. And one of the problems, like, in truth be told, full disclosure, I briefly contributed to that site, like, when it debuted about a year ago.
Shameful.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wanted to help shape the narrative out there, you know, about our favorite team. I think one of my issues with the site is that it's trying to be so much. It's really just a catch-all site. It's like everything else. And I think that's exactly what the internet was made to not produce. You know what I mean? Like, the internet, like, the bar is so low, the barrier to entry is so low, that you can have a very niche site. I mean, look at meetgreennation.com, right? And still maintain it, you know. But, like, they have, you know, big-time SB Nation money. And then they're like, well, we're going to do everything else, you know, from SMU to UNT to Louisiana Tech to Louisiana Lafayette, you know. Basically, it just everywhere else. And I don't think that works so well on the internet. And so, like, it, you know, you end up getting, like, Jason Jones, who's very good writing about Louisiana Tech and what he knows, and not so good at him writing UNT stuff. Like, I think he wrote something like, well, you know, how is North Texas going to pick between Dejon Williams and Andrew McNulty? Well, pretty simply because Dejon Williams on the bench.
We're just going to kick him off the team, and we're going to be fine.
Yeah, I misspoke. He's not on the bench. He's, you know, at home somewhere. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, with those sites, you know, it's obviously they're just posting to post. You know, it's quantity over quality. You know, we're not going to do that on our site. We're not just going to, hey, I haven't written anything in a while, so I need to throw some words down on the internet, and it's basically crap. No, I want to research some stuff. I want to give UNT fans something that's worth reading and not worth that's criticizing. I mean, I enjoy if you're at least you're reading it and you may criticize it, but I mean, I don't want to do what that guy did and, you know, not do my homework. So
yeah, and that's what I say. I was kind of giving him a hard time. Like, he's like, well, I knew UNT fans were going to be happy with it anyway, you know, aside from this shoddy research and you know, just a hot take that the UNT's gonna be bad. Well, I mean, you can't, if we're like angry, like, I don't think you're accurately researching the team, it's a different reason to be angry than well, you know, I don't think that they're going to do well.
He agreed to join us on our podcast when we play Louisiana Tech. So, hey, we'll get to grill him then.
Well, I was going to say, I know you're reaching out. There are some other good Louisiana Tech people on. We might have a whole collection of them. Like, Louisiana Tech surprisingly has a lot of like solid blogging people. It's weird. It's like Arkansas State also does. They have like a active message board and things, but the other teams, they don't. They're just, it's like eerily quiet. Anyway, this is not a Conference USA podcast. It's a Mean Green Nation podcast. And so let's talk about some Mean Green. Big stuff happened this week. You and I were kind of watching some of the Periscope broadcasts of practice, and I was very, very fascinated. I was enthralled, I dare say. I think you called it our version of a Hard Knocks, basically, right?
Right. Yeah, because it's unedited, unfiltered. You can hear the coach coaching the player sometimes. You can see the drill. Now, while the video quality is not great, it's still access inside our program. Anybody can get on and anybody can watch it, and anybody can be their amateur scout and say, hey, man, that guy's really winning in those one-on-one drills. You know, so it's great. We talked last week about UNT being innovative, and they need to be innovative on the field and off the field. And this is one of those areas where I think that they're being progressive and reaching out and, you know, trying to grab some new interest.
I agree. And I think, you know, again, we're talking about barriers to entry. This doesn't take any money. It's, you get a Twitter account. You know, it's all stuff people do all the time. Like, I mean, you got YouTube stars out here. There's no reason that they can't grab an intern or, you know, a sports information guy and just have them record a little bit of the practice. And so it's great that they actually did that because, you know, like you said, they were ripe candidates for criticism. And this is one where they're candidates for praise. It's great. I like it.
Yeah, we're fans. We're starved for information. We want to know. We want to see these drills. We want to see the quarterbacks throwing the football to wide receivers. We want to see the new guys that are on the team making plays. We don't get to go to practice. Practice is closed to, you know, media and to fans and, you know, everybody pretty much, unless you know somebody that knows somebody, you can walk in. But still, it's our way of seeing something. I mean, we've got, you know, less than a month now till the first game, but we want to see football. We want to see something.
I think just I watched a little bit of the quarterback throwing. They were just throwing, you know, routes against air. That's not really that doesn't really tell you much. And I think the like real world example of that is if you go out to say like you go to the gym, the rec center, and you see a bunch of dudes shooting basketball, right? Everybody's really amazing shooting wide open jumpers where they have lots of time. And then you get a little pickup game, especially a competitive pickup game, and all of a sudden a guy that was raining threes, you know, against air can't hit, you know, side of the barn. So that's where, like, you know, quarterback competition where the guy just throwing against throwing routes that are open, not under pressure, with no line in front of him, can be deceiving. That being said, Caleb Chumley had some zip on the ball, and DeMarcus Smith looks kind of short. Like, he looks really short.
He's the same height as McNulty.
I know, but he just looks shorter. You know what I mean? You kind of see it, but he just kind of, I don't know, maybe just doesn't stand tall. Whatever. That doesn't mean anything. It just is.
I know, and a lot of people were kind of concerned. They were like, oh, my God, he's wearing gloves. Why is he wearing gloves? Yeah, maybe he has small hands. Dude, he had, like, 6 fumbles last year for Butler, and that's a lot of fumbles for a quarterback. So,
Didn't Kurt Warner wear gloves?
Kurt Warner wore gloves. Rakeem Cato wore gloves. Teddy Bridgewater wore gloves. So maybe he's channeling all that, and he's going to be a combination of every one of those quarterbacks, and will be awesome. And then, you know, he may never see the field because we got McNulty.
Yeah. Well, I don't think this is the case. I think you kind of convinced me on the podcast and elsewhere that maybe DeMarcus Smith is going to have a chance to compete for the job more than is being, I guess, said publicly. You know, so we might see last week, if you want to go back and listen, you can kind of get our predictions on when these quarterbacks are going to make their debuts. I think just to sum up that discussion, I think that Andy McNulty is going to take the majority of the snaps and probably start most of the games. And if he's benched, it's probably going to be through injury. Greg said, that third game, I think, is what you said?
Yeah, I said the Rice game. Look, I'm not a lover of McNulty. I get where the offense is going and what it's doing and what Coach Canales is trying to do this year is, you know, create the up-tempo, create the simple offense so that they can take a guy like McNulty and he can be successful in an offense. You know, all the things that he doesn't have, the strong arm, you know, the great athleticism, they're tailoring their offense to fit him a little bit better and to fit DeMarcus Smith and to fit, you know, everybody but Josh Greer. But the thing is, for our offense to be successful and what the way that I think that they're going, I think Andrew McNulty has to run the ball more this year. I think they're going to ask him to run the ball more, and I don't think he can take those type of hits from running.
Yeah, like Derek Thompson, I think if you run well, then you can get some runs from the quarterback that aren't very dangerous. And I think that's evident if you go back to 2013, where everybody was really scared of Breland coming on a sweep, a jet sweep or something, or like our really quality run game, and Derek Thompson had some really nice runs, especially against Ball State. I remember that. I think I did like a MGN film room on that one and kind of broke it down, that he had just, you know, acres of space there. And, you know, he managed to get down or just get out of bounds. Those are kinds of runs that I think Andrew McNulty can maybe get. We don't really want him diving into the middle of the line, you know. He's not Cam Newton, like as you said. He's not really built for that kind of game. They build the offense towards his strengths and his weaknesses, away from his weaknesses.
So, here's my theory of where I see the offense going this year. I think when Canales, you know, first got here, that year of 2010, when he took over, I think our offense is going to be very similar. There's going to be a lot of the same concepts that we did back then that he's going to try and implement this year. That's what he knows works, that fits the up-tempo. There are going to be a lot of shotgun sets, but their main weapon is going to be running the football. It's going to be the zone stretch play out of the shotgun, and off that there has to be some threat of a quarterback run for it to be successful, where you can pop in a zone read where, you know, McNulty can, hey, that defensive end, he's really playing aggressive, he's coming downhill, we need to do a little zone read here, a little pull action, and McNulty busts off for maybe 10, 15 yards. You do that like five times a game, and then the rest of your running game, you know, may open up.
Yeah, well, I'd kind of slightly disagree. We're saying it's kind of the same thing here, but I think your bread and butter has to be the actual run. That if that zone, just like the actual outside zone, isn't getting 5 to 6 yards, then it doesn't matter what we have on the backside because they're not going to defend that with everything they got. What you want to say is like when the defense lines up in their base package, we can get 5 or 6 yards off of this play. And then when they start shifting or guessing right or, you know, jumping the play, we hold them, we burn them on a backside thing. Either, like you said, the, you know, if you think back to like Denver in 1998, you know, John Elway, he had the little bootleg. That was because Terrell Davis was killing it. He's running for 2,000 yards. So they do that little stretch thing and he's running outside and then everybody just flies to the ball out there. And John Elway would have like a naked bootleg. He would just turn around, throw it to Rod Smith or something. You know, Ed McCaffrey. Why do I remember all that team? I don't know, but I just do. Anyway, yeah, so like, but that's it. That was to hold them, to burn them for, you know, really jumping on the play.
It was a zone blocking scheme, and it was a stretch running play that they would run with Terrell Davis, and he was so great at seeing the hole, picking it, get up the field. I think our stretch play is going to be run out of the shotgun, and I think what we're going to do, the variations are going to be those. You know, McNulty or whoever the quarterback's going to be is going to be reading the one linebacker or defensive back. And if that guy commits to the run, he's going to pull it and he's going to dump a pass, you know, quick up the seam. We saw it in the spring game where Marcus Smith, Chris Loving, those easy type of quick plays, those are going to be the variations that you just talked about.
Yeah, the I think the best, if you want to like read more about this, is smartfootball.com. He has a whole article on constraint plays, and he's elaborated on it as that has now like evolved. You might see a whole lot of stuff about package plays. That was like last year, it was like 2 years ago, but he wrote about that before. Now it's like really popular in the on the bigger college football blogs. If you follow those, if not, the crux of the idea is, like you said, is to make the defense wrong all the time. That's what like an option play is. But really, what you want, none of that works unless you have a good, you know, jab. That's basically it. You give him a jab, you give him a jab, and then you get him with the right hook. Meaning that you need to be able to get 5 or 6 plays. You need to make them concerned about whatever the dive is or the outside zone. Whatever that play is for your team, you need to make them move, and then you can hit them with the other stuff. Then you could get the deep ball, you can get the rollout, you can get the quarterback keeper, whatever it is that you have that's your constraint play. And what are you constraining? The defense, to get them back in their base package and keep them honest, as they say.
The good thing for UNT is that they've got a guy in Jeffrey Wilson, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And they got Jimerson. Those guys, you know, they can make those plays work. And the offensive line, from everything that I've heard and from seeing some of the Periscope drills, I think they're going to be better than last year. So our offense could be better. It will be better. It will be better.
Here's another thing. Like I said, I'm a relatively recent convert to soccer, right? And there's a couple teams that that had disappointing seasons last season. And they didn't really make any moves. They basically have the same guys. And so far, a couple weeks into the new season, they're balling out, right? And I was like, wow, it's amazing. This guy had, like, no goals, and now he already has, like, 3 goals in 2 games. Like, what's the difference? I mean, sometimes you just have a bad season. And I think for some of the returning guys, I think, you know, last season may have, you know, left a bad taste in the mouth. And by all indications, it has for everybody, right? Everybody's saying the right things. So we might just see some of those guys that we're not really expecting a whole lot from. Like, well, they're back, but we got to see what they have, whatever. Some of those guys may surprise us and have really outstanding seasons. And that's the hope, obviously. But I did just another thing that just popped in my head as I was watching, like, Everton play.
I talked to one guy who watched practice, and I trust him. And, you know, he's a really good source. And he told me that 6 wins is a definite possibility with this team. So take that for what it's worth. He thinks that they can get to a bowl game because there's good enough talent for them to get there.
I mean, last week I kind of broke it down. I could see how we get 6 wins. You know, I called it out. We win some of the home games. We have to go to some places and get some kind of reach wins. Those would be, you know, questionable. We need a little fortune on our side there.
But the thing is, you don't really know if it's a reach win right now. We don't know how good. Yeah. I mean, we're basing a lot off of last year and what they have returning. We don't know if they're going to be good. I mean, everybody picked us to be win, you know, the West last year, and look what happened. So it may not be a reach win come fall.
Yeah, just to reiterate the refrain over the last 8 months, if our offense was average, I think we would have been a lot better than 4-8. Because our defense, you know, we got burned a couple times, but it's not like we had a bad defense. We just had a tired, sometimes overmatched defense. And that's not a bad thing to have. If you just have an average team, then yeah, you can win 6 games because that's about average.
So, you know, talking about the defense and the periscope drills, what did you think about the defensive line? You know, anybody stand out to you this week?
Yes. I mentioned this to you before, and I think I tweeted it too. Dakota Smith, he's the JUCO guy, right? He looks fast. He's 50, number 50, in case you were watching and didn't know he was. He was, like, flying around the end. It's not like he just has one move either. Like, he was flying and then, you know, doing some – they were, like, trying to get him to do different things, like do a spin, do a rip. And he was doing all those and getting to the quarterback every time. A couple other guys had some nice drills where they, you know, made some nice moves, but then they would kind of get locked up. I didn't see once where he got locked up. Like, he basically had his way with our line, which was pretty interesting and got me kind of excited. I like that speed that he has.
Yeah, well, he was a converted linebacker, so that may contribute to him having that speed.
Yeah. Anybody stand out to you?
Yeah, the defensive tackle, the freshman out of spring, Roderick Young. He got his stripes off after the scrimmage. And we need big guys that can plug up the middle. You could see him push the pile. You could see him push the guards, the center, whoever was blocking him. I mean, that dude is going to play right away. And it looked like he was already starting to play with that one group. They had moved him up. It was Jerrion Roberts, Roderick Young, Austin Orr, and trying to think of the other defensive end that was going. I think Flushi was still going with the ones. But definitely Roderick Young looked good. I like TJ, the other defensive tackle. He showed a good push.
Have you figured out how to say his name yet?
No, but I'll get it before the end of the season. When they didn't have the pads on, you could tell how good of a guy Jeremy Combs was going to be. Mm-hmm. That dude, Jared Combs, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That dude had some serious speed coming off the edge. And, but once they got the pads on, he got pushed down quite a bit. Or not quite a bit, but he got pushed down a couple times. So, but definitely the two defensive tackles I thought stood out to me.
I liked it. I think there's not really much to say besides that kind of stuff outside of what we're talking about. Because they were only, a few minutes long? So we didn't see, like, all of practice and all those other things. But the little glimpses look good. I think they said they're going to do it Tuesday and Thursday. Is that right? The Periscope stuff?
I didn't see that. They've normally been doing it every practice that they go to. Mm-hmm. They do a little... They've been doing the battle in the trenches. They had the defensive backs and wide receivers, a tackling drill. You started to see the circle drill come back. That was a big one. Right before the scrimmage, they had the Lynn, the white Mamba, go up against Combs. And Combs took him down, shoved him down to the ground. And then somebody got hurt at the end of the drill. We don't know who, but, I mean, that's a bad part about it.
Yeah. You see a lot of injuries happening in practice, either like NFL, the college stuff, and it reminds you how like difficult a game this thing is, you know?
Right.
Some big old dudes hitting each other.
The great news that I've heard from camp so far is that we haven't had any major injuries.
Yeah.
So.
Which is great. It's always great to hear. Especially since we have 12 straight weeks without a bye. It's going to be kind of a problem. How do you feel about, like not playing that very first week? So we basically have are by at the beginning of the season.
I kind of feel like if you woke up Christmas morning and there was presents supposed to be under the tree and they weren't there, and then your parents said, well, no, you have to wait a week later. That's how I feel. I mean, like, I want to see my presents. I want to unwrap the gifts. I want to see what North Texas has week one. I don't want to wait a week to see that. I mean, I think it's a huge advantage for SMU to go out on the field. You know, even though they're going to get their ass beat by Baylor, they're like 35-point, you know, underdogs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I want to see them play week one. That's how it should be done. You should never have your bye week one. And I bet you damn sure that Dan McCartney went to the athletic director and said, if you ever do this crap again where I get 5 home games and I don't have, you know, my bye week is week one, I'm going to leave. And you're never going to find another coach.
Well, I mean, if he sounds like he's unenthused about it now, like in public, because, you know, he's pretty good with PR. Like, he knows how to hype up our team. He says all the right things. Like, oh, well, you know, we're taking it as a challenge, and 5 home games is a challenge, but we're ready, and we're not thinking about it. You know, privately, he's really pissed about it because he's still expressing his displeasure with it. And, I mean, it's a big topic of conversation on the message board, especially. I mean, 5 home games, it's like, why? What are we trying to do here? And then one of them, you know, we had it's against Portland State, which is, you know, people are not really excited about. I personally don't mind taking on an FCS squad, because we're taking a beating going to like Tennessee or Iowa or Texas last year, or LSU before, you know, that kind of thing. So it's kind of the same thing, you know. I think maybe we could probably step that up and play another squad. I don't know, but there's whatever. It doesn't really matter. I think it's good for everybody. Everybody gets to see a win. Even last season when we played, I can't even think of the team name now.
Nichols.
Nichols, and we hung 77 on it. I think outside of the hardcore fans, everybody had a good time. You know, people looked on they saw a big point total on the board. Everybody kind of felt good about themselves. The team felt good. It's basically a practice, but it gives the other teams, like Nichols of the world, Portland States of the world, a chance to, you know, pull off a little upset.
I mean, the only thing is, though, the coaches and the players, they really can't treat it like a bye week. They still have to prepare hard. You know, we know Mac. We know what a stickler he is for details, practice hard, do all the right things. So, you know, it's not like they're going to get extra days off that week. They're still going to have to practice hard. They're still going to have to go about things the same way they would for every other game week. So I can see where you're coming from that, yes, it's a, you know, lesser opponent, so we can kind of just breeze over them. But still, that, you know, we've seen FCS schools, you know, jump up and bite other, you know, big schools in the ass. So who's to say that if we treat that as a bye week, I mean, we're going to be seeing North Texas on the bottom 10 and all over ESPN.
Yeah.
Portland State beats North Texas.
Well, I mean, that's the kind of thing. I think, anytime you go out there and play a game, you run the risk of getting embarrassed. And I think North Texas has, you know, I mean, we've lost to brand new squads before. I mean, UTSA, right? That was pretty embarrassing. We lost to, Rice put up like some like 44 points in the first half on their way to something ridiculous. Oklahoma put up 79 against us. Those are not really things that we're proud of, right? So, no. So yeah, I mean, you run that risk every time. I think after a while, even though for us it's an opportunity to go to LSU and get a win, to go to Texas and get a win, right? It's a chance for us to, you know, upset things, flip the order a little bit. After a while, I mean, it does kind of get on you. It's like, here's our annual body bag game. You know, you don't really feel like you have a chance. And so I think to balance it out by getting a mostly easy win is good for everybody's mental health a little bit. You know, it's one thing getting beat up by your big brother every day, but you don't, you know, sometimes you want to get a little win. So maybe you play somebody that's more your own speed or a little bit below you just to kind of, you know, reorient yourself. I don't think that's wrong. Am I really excited about Portland State? No. I understand the argument, especially when we only have five games. I mostly agree that there's been a history of poor scheduling here at North Texas.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't want to piss off the athletic director by throwing him under the bus, but we could easily.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. Like, we said this before. There's lots of things that point to the fact that this is maybe not the best run athletic department in the history of the world. And you know, you look at like stadium, how long it took to get a new stadium, how long it took to get a winning program, the basketball program. You can look at a lot of things. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff, but those don't really make a whole lot of money. The soccer team is great. The track and field team was doing well, but those things don't really bring in a whole lot of money or, you know, prestige or that kind of thing. So we're not saying anything that's, you know, groundbreaking or revolutionary here. I mean, it is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Our athletic director, if we want to get to a Boise State level, we have to be more progressive.
Yeah.
He has to be more progressive and you know, developing the program in other areas, and he just doesn't do it.
Yeah, and if it's not the athletic director, then it's the board of directors, whoever it is. I mean, it's UNT administration as a whole. If they want to take credit for all the good stuff that happens, when they're like, wow, look at that, it's like 38,000 people out here. What a great day in the mean green world. Well, then they got to also take the same credit for, you know, the Middle Tennessee game on Lance Dunbar's final game, and there's like 10 people there, you know?
It was raining cats and dogs. It was flood.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of, well, you got to understand that the Rangers are playing baseball. There's a lot of that. I'm just saying that there's things you can do. You take credit for the good. You got to take credit for the bad, right? That's what we say about the quarterbacks. That's what we say about, like, Derek Thompson. That's what we say about Damon Carney. I say that about the athletic director, too.
You know, excuses are like assholes. Everybody's got one.
Yeah. So, that being said, now that we've made sure everybody everybody gets a little bit, you mentioned some other headlines from camp. Is there anything else that you want to talk about?
No. I mean, you know, a lot of it has been the quarterback battle. You had Vito Pump saying that McNulty shined in the scrimmage, and then on Mean Green Sports website, you know, there was really no mention. Mac talked about McNulty and saying that he's having a good camp and doing the things that he needs to do, but I just really wonder if he's making plays. I wonder about that. DeMarcus Smith, you wonder if they're telling us the whole truth on him, or if he's really, you know, when is he going to get a rep with the first team? Is that going to come this next week? If it doesn't come this next week, he's not going to start against SMU. There's no way. So that's being pushed down. I think the wide receivers that have made some plays, you know, he mentioned Thaddeus Thompson making plays, T. Goree looking good, Darvin Kidzie making plays in practice. You know, those are some of the highlights from camp. I think, like we mentioned earlier, the offensive line looks better. The defensive line looks better. We haven't got a chance to really, you know, see any drills or too many with the defensive backs and the wide receivers kind of actually catching balls. And so we don't really know what those areas look like yet. But, yeah, if the defensive line and offensive line are improved, then, yes, we have an opportunity to win six games this year.
You mentioned that if he doesn't get a rep with the first team this week, then he's not going to. We have 4 weeks before the SMU game. I think, you know, he can get a rep, you know, the next week or maybe even the 31st if it's the week of the 31st if they're pushing it.
But I just don't think it – yes, he may get one rep, but
– Well, I'm just saying. It's possible.
He's like – It's just not looking like he's going to be able to dethrone McNulty. McNulty's not going to lose the job in camp. He's just not going to do it. He knows the offense. He knows what to, you know, he runs the drills nice. You know, he does everything smooth out there, you know. But, you know, all of our concerns as fans are when the real bullets start flying and SMU is in his face, you know, can he continue to do the things that he does in practice? And I think we all feel like he can't. But DeMarcus Smith, we feel like he can, but is he going to get the reps? And are they going to trust him enough to be the starter against SMU? And that's just not going to happen.
Well, yeah, and that's it. I think what DeMarcus Smith has in his favor is that he did it at the JUCO level, right? But I mean, I kind of agree. You do need to practice. It doesn't matter what you did in the past, really, for both of them, right? It doesn't matter that Andrew McNulty had a good game, a decent game against UTSA, or a decent close to the season, relatively speaking. Yeah, I mean, in his favor, I think that overall the offense is going to be just a little bit better, just because everything's a little bit more simpler and whatever. So I don't think he needs to do too much, and that's kind of right in his wheelhouse, not doing too much. You know, we don't need him to win the game. We don't need him to throw 50 times. You know, he's not running air raid out here. He's going to do a lot of turn around and hand the ball off, and that's really all we need. Don't turn the ball over, and we'll be okay. So I don't know if it's a big deal that you know, against SMU, I don't think we're going to need, hey, we need somebody to go out there and win us the game. I think even that comes a little bit later on. I think we could beat SMU just given the tools that we had. I mean, we shellacked them last season. I know they're a completely different team and yada, 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 different coaching staff. They'll be better prepared and not going to shoot themselves in the foot, this and that and the other. But I think we could beat them.
Yeah, we could beat them. Sure.
So, I mean, are you saying that we need the quarterback to put the team on his back and against SMU to win the game for us?
No, I'm not saying that. Yeah. And I don't think Mike Canales is thinking that either. I think, honestly, you know, I keep saying, pointing to 2010, that our offense is going to look more like that type of offense. Mm-hmm. And I think that his belief is, like, he probably went to Mac and said, look, if I can make Riley Dodge look, you know, like a college quarterback, I can make your guy, McNulty, look like a good quarterback because, one, he's going to have better players around him, yeah. And, two, he's going to know the offense a little bit better. He's probably a little bit better of a passer. So if you run my offense, if we do it the way that I want to do it, we're going to be fine. And I think he also sold them on the fact that, look, we're going to go with this up-tempo offense, but the key is going to be the running game. It's all about the run. And I think that's what Mac, you know, that's how he got sold on. And he was like, we're going to go up-tempo, but we're still going to, you know, drub people into the ground with the running game. And that's going to be the whole base.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what I liked about Oregon under Chip Kelly was that he said, you know, like, they looked real funky, and, you know, they're hurrying, you know, getting up and going and going and going. They have weird practices, and maybe he's a racist. Who knows? But it's that they still consider themselves physical, like they're a physical team, and that they just think of it differently. Like, we're going to be in such good shape, and getting up and going again, full speed, that we're going to out-physical you that way. And I think, because I think one of the biggest knocks still to this day, even though lots of programs don't just line up and run with a fullback right at you anymore, is that a run game out of the shotgun cannot be physical, that it's not downhill, that it's not, you know, like true football, I guess. But it is. I mean, if you think way, way back to like the 20s and whatever, when they had the T formation, that was like that. Like, Notre Dame was running out of a shotgun, basically. It's all very physical. It can be very physical. So I think it took some time to get Dan McCartney to come around to that, I guess. I mean, he just really loves him, some power eye or some offset eye or something, you know, I guess. I don't know. But I agree. I'd like to see – I mean, it's kind of like you said, Canales is saying, hey, if I'm going to get canned, it might as well be on my terms, you know. Yeah. It's like that movie line, we're going to do this my way. And so I'm excited to see what he has, because I remember that. Yeah, I remember that it was basically Lance Dunbar and, you know, however else we can get the ball down the field. It was because Riley Dodge was injured, Nate Toon was injured. We had Chase Bain, a converted wide receiver, taking snaps. And we almost beat Kansas State with that, you know, at home at Fouts Field.
I mean, you think about it. Mac called this the best group of running backs that he's had since he's been here. Okay, mm-hmm. So if we can run the ball like Canales wants to, think of the weapons that we have on the outside with Goree and Carlos Harris and Marcus Smith, and now you throw in Thaddeus Thompson and Darvin Kitsey. Those are a lot of weapons. Those are guys that can make plays with the ball in their hands. So if we got a good running game and everybody's focused on the run, and then we pull that ball and, you know, we throw a little short, you know, 5 yard out to them, and they're one on one, they can make a play and go for a touchdown.
Yeah, I'd like to see like something like the splits be like somebody with like 10 carries, 15 carries, 80 yards. The next guy with 8 or 9 carries, somewhere around 60 yards. The next guy is like 5 or 6 carries, you know, 20, 30 yards, something like that. And that'd be great. I think that would be ideal. And then that kind of would mix up, you know, depending on the game, circumstance, whatever. And, you know, I'd like to see the ball spread around. We don't need some guy with 25 carries, especially not in this day and age. So, yeah, no. I agree. I like that. I'm excited to see what they have in store. And that's why I'm not so concerned about the quarterback. In as much as you can be unconcerned with the quarterback position, the most important position on the field. You know, like I think Andy Mack knows where to go with the ball. Can he get there with some zip? Can he get the ball there with some zip on it? Remains to be seen. 15 yards and under? Sure. Anything beyond that? Maybe not. And when it comes time to drop back and get a crucial 3rd and 12 against Tennessee, do I have the utmost confidence that he'll be able to do that? Maybe not so much. You know? But again, that's
it's 3rd, you know, if it's 3rd and 4 because we can run the football, yeah. He can complete a little 5 yard pass, a little quick slam. Mm-hmm. Little
Yeah, and that's it. It's a team game, right? We gotta make sure that we're catching those passes on 2nd and 5, you know, to make it a 3rd and 1. That we're, you know, making the right read on in the run game, so that way we can turn the gain into a 3 yard gain and not a 3 yard loss. Little things like that add up, so that we don't have 3rd and 12s against Tennessee on the road from our own 15 yard line. You know, because we're just asking to punt the ball at the very least. So. Yeah, I feel good. Well, I guess to kind of like do a little callback, it's like we're doing a comedy show. So Jason Jones basically said that UNT, I think, you know, his HSO and his little write-up was that we're going to be bad. And he's like, what team could be bad? Here's 5 teams that could be bad this season. And he says he's basically like positing that we're going to be real terrible. Unless we can figure out the quarterback situation. I don't know. I mean, I think we were about as bad as we could have gotten, and that was last season. That 4-8, you know, the worst offense in the last 8 years, I think it was, and a defense that was giving up big plays. I don't know how we can be much worse. And like, you know, I don't think we have the yakety sacks program that we did under Todd Dodge. So, I mean, that's about as worse you can get as a program. So, I don't know. Do you buy that premise?
No, I don't think it can get much worse. But our record could be worse than last year. But I don't think that they'll look as bad. You know, and I don't know if we're going to be good. And I know I said all that stuff earlier. But, again, you know, if we play tough teams all year long, the 12 weeks of back-to-back games, you know, that all could factor into us, you know, only winning 3 games, but still we look better on the field. I mean, what if we go out there and we lose, you know, 9 games by, you know, 5 points each game, or 1 point, or a field goal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It makes you feel like, well, yeah, we sucked, but we weren't that bad.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, and I forget the details right now, by the way, you can chat with us. You have to get like a Mixler account to chat in the chat window. Eventually, if we get enough interest, I think the majority of listeners now do it like, you know, via podcast. But occasionally when we do it live, especially on game days, more people join in. And so I was thinking about putting a little chat box in there. But, you know, when sufficient interest is mustard. But yeah, you can chat with us right now. You can hit us on Twitter. That's one of the easier ways to get in touch with us while we're recording the show. So there you go. What I was going to say, I forgot the details about like when exactly it was, but I think it was Todd Dodge's last season. So the basically the season Mike Canales was the interim coach. We lost like three games by like 4 points or like a touchdown. You know, like we were right in those games, and you know you can tell like the offense was okay. You know, despite being injured. And I think a lot of people forget that, unfortunately. But you do get the sense, you know, like it's better watching a good product that is not winning games, you know, and then a bad product that is squeaking out games. I don't know. I think that's kind of worse in some ways. Like, well, they got five victories, but you know, they looked really awful doing it. I don't know if that inspires much confidence, but I don't know. Yeah, I think we're going to be better. It's really it. I don't really buy that premise.
Again, just writing to write. So, and hey, North Texas sucked last year. They got this guy, McNuggets. Oh, yeah, McNulty. Because they don't have a quarterback, North Texas will suck. Well, you know what? There's about, you know, four other teams in Conference USA that are trying to figure out the quarterback position, but, I mean, well, they suck. Who knows? But it's North Texas, and I don't like them, so they will suck.
Yeah, I don't even know if it, like, it's like I don't like them. I think it's just more like I'm just very unfamiliar with them, and I had to step in.
Well, I mean, it's just it's easy to say North Texas is going to suck because we have for a while.
Yeah. All right. Like last 15 minutes of the show, you mentioned the other thing, opponent headlines. The only thing I saw, I haven't really been closely following other teams' headlines. Everybody's just kind of trying to figure out what they're going to do. You know, a lot of coach speak going on. But I think the one thing that I saw was interesting was I think somebody was saying that they were looking forward, like, what game as a UTSA fan are you looking forward to? And a lot of people chose the UNT game on October 31st. Unlike previous two seasons where I was looking forward to that UTSA game more than any other one, this one I'm looking forward to the SMU game a little bit more just because they got Chad Morris there. It's the first game that we've seen, you know, that after a bad season, I want to see the team jump out and play really well. How about yourself?
The SMU game, because if we start off with a win, it could really get the season rolling. If the confidence is brewing in these guys, I mean, we could win Conference USA. Who knows? But, you know, it's going to be a long season. You win week one, you beat SMU. We get to see the new pieces to the puzzle of this team. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the SMU game the most. As far as, like, other headlines that are out there, North Texas does a fan appreciation for just the Mean Green Club members, but I saw that UTSA and Middle Tennessee State both had – they both had, like, a fun day or fan appreciation night for their fans, and it was like an open practice. The fans will get to see the practice, and it's fan appreciation. I think that would be great for North Texas to do. I think they should open it up to more than just Mean Green Club members, but, you know, have the Mean Green Club members, you know, rep it, you know, have people out there to sign, you know, new members up. But I think that – I know Coach Mack doesn't like to open his practices, but I think it would be something that would draw in some more fans. You know, draw in some more people to, you know, just open up your, you know, your program just a little bit more, draw in a little bit more interest. So that was one thing that kind of caught my head.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that we suffer from. And, you know, we're talking about, like, how to market the program. I think, you know, I said this before, I think in many ways that, you know, Larry Coker had an easier job than Dan McCartney did because they kind of basically took over the programs roughly the same period of time. Because, like, when you have a legacy program, right, you have a lot of institutional cruft to get through, right? There's a lot of, like, well, we've always done it this way. Or, you know, like, a lot of alums have always been treated this way, and so they expect to be treated this way. And so if you want to change that, I don't know if we want that anymore, you know? There's a lot of, you know, momentum that you have to fight back against. When you're just starting a program from scratch, you know, as everybody has a startup now, it's a lot easier because you don't have to go change a culture. You just start it up however you want. You know, UTSA is going to be this way. It's going to be fan-friendly. It's going to be this, that, the other. You know, I mean, you get everybody excited that way. And I think that's one of those kinds of things. I think there's a lot of Because if you start opening up, then a lot of Mean Green Club members are like, well, you know, we used to get preferential things. Like, what's the point of becoming a Mean Green Club member if just anybody can get in there? So I'm sure those conversations happen. And so I wonder if that's a cost.
But I want to grow the program. I want to think ahead. So I want everybody. I want to be able to go to this fan appreciation night, and I want to be able to get Coach Mack's autograph, and I'm going to tell him, hey, you know, I'm Greg from Mean Green Nation. Oh, that's the asshole that writes about me all the time. I'm not signing your piece of paper, son. That's what I want to do.
Well, it's kind of weird that you want an autograph in today's day and age, you know. Maybe you get a picture. A picture. With him. Yeah, you get a little selfie, you and Coach Mack.
Yeah, I'm going to whip out my selfie stick, take a little picture. That's what I'm talking about right there.
Yeah. Once again, we're going to be – I'm gonna be up there. I live in San Antonio right now. I'm going to be in Dallas at SMU for the opener. We'll try to do it – like we'll try to get there early in the morning on Saturday and do a little pregame podcast while we're tailgating, drinking some beers, eating some food, having a good old time with our Mean Green friends and family. And, you know. Hopefully, whoop up on SMU, beat up the ponies in their own house, you know?
Yeah, it's fun. Sounds like a plan to me. Sounds like fun. Sounds like a party.
Yeah.
Optimism is flowing out of Mean Green Nation right now.
Yeah, I don't even know what to title this episode of the podcast, because last week I called it Optimism. This week, I don't know what to call that.
I don't know.
We need title suggestions. Maybe I'll call it McNuggets. That was a good one. That's a good McNuggets. Who's that? I said, I'm hoping, you know, that Andrew McNulty goes out there and throws for 700 yards. You know, I hope that every one of the running backs has, you know, a 200-yard rushing game. You know, I hope that everybody that catches a pass breaks all the tackles and takes it to the house. You know,
It's not NCAA football, so you can write that hope off. But I did write down, I remember last week, you said McNulty's going to throw for over 300 yards against SMU. So I still have that written down.
Yeah, I said, it's lining up to be that way, is what I said. Daniel Meagher threw for 627 yards. That's a school record, ladies and gentlemen. I always want to see somebody break it.
Whoa. Are you calling it saying that McNulty is going to break the record too?
Yeah. I'll go ahead and say it. I had nothing to lose. He's going to go out there though for 752 yards, 17 touchdowns. That would be a ridiculous game.
I'm writing it down.
I think the 8 touchdowns that Giovanni Vita threw for is the record, right? Is our school record. So, I don't know that anybody's going to beat that one. It was a crazy time, you know? We had ridiculous passing records and the worst teams ever. Another question. You guys going to the Mean Green Club tailgate at SMU? Sure. I'm going to be, usually, unless I'm hosting my own tailgate, I like to do, maybe one. I'll just try to go to all the tailgates. Meet up with people, walk around, have a good time. Greg, how do you usually do your Mean Greening?
Oh, we'll put up a tent, you know. And I think this year, since we're going to be doing some tailgate podcasts, we'll probably have our own little Mean Green Nation. But that doesn't mean we're going to be cooking, you know, food for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And beer for everybody. But you can certainly stop by and say hello onto the show, you know. As long as you're a little bit sober. I don't want any crazy drunks jumping on there. But, you know, we'll figure something out. We'll have some fun with everybody out there.
Yeah, that's the plan, man. I think we've kind of exhausted our topics for the week. So what are we looking forward to for next week? More Periscope stuff, more insights into the program.
Yeah, trying to see, you know, what's going on during the practices. You know, the next scrimmage probably be next Saturday. You know, again, the quarterback battle, because we're North Texas and we love to talk about quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. You know, all those type of things. Oh, the helmet. You know, there's a new helmet that they're going to they released. Well, they didn't really release it. They teased it. I don't know if anybody saw that on Twitter. So North Texas will have a black helmet this year. They'll have their green helmet. And they will have another helmet, too.
Is it a white helmet? That'd be awesome to have a white with the green diving eagle.
I'm not at liberty to say.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Sources tell Greg Odecker that the new helmet's gonna be awesome. Damn.
I don't know about awesome.
Yeah.
All right, I don't want to disappoint people.
Yeah. Well, so where can we find you on the Twitter machine?
I'm somewhere out there at @MGN_breakdown.
Right. You can find me, Mean Green Nation. I tweet from that account. My personal account is ZE_Martino. Just want to put that out there. I don't know. Some people feel like I'm hiding things or something. I don't know. The internet's weird. But it's there in the bio and whatever. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, please do so by emailing us, podcast@meangreennation.com. You can email us individually if you want. I think all that contact info is on the masthead section of the site. Please go to the site. Please read it. Leave comments. Leave feedback. We really do appreciate any and all feedback. And, you know, like, it kind of gives us an idea what you guys want to talk about. We're not just talking to hear ourselves talk. We're talking, you know, to our friends and other people. So we can get a little bit of the coverage that all the big time schools get, and we are thirsty for, you know? You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. With that said, I'm Adam. For Greg.
I'm Greg.
Yeah.
Like Kevin Garnett said, anything's possible.
Go Mean Green.